Okay, good evening. So we are, it is October 31st, and therefore you may hear some music in the background. I apologize for that, the neighbor of the shul. Anyways, we're in the beginning of Kafayin Tes, Hilchos Ma'onin Machashif, okay, which the diviners and magic and things of that nature, so maybe it is appropriate for the night, or how we don't hold like it. So before we start, I didn't make copies or anything, but you'll hear my question here, and I don't have an answer. This has been bothering me for, what year did we learn Sanhedrin? Second year Smicha, so we're going back about 11, 12 years or so, and I have not come up with an answer to this question yet. So the Rambam famously rejects that these question A is, when you talk about magic, is it real magic? Is it something that actually works in some way? Or is it all fake? So the Rambam famously assumes that it's all fake. He writes a long couple of paragraphs in the Mora Nevuchim, and famously at the end of Perek Yedav in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he says that if, you know, all these things are prohibited to do, and if you're one of these people that say, like, oh, you know, it's really neat those kinds of things to do, but what can I do? I'm Jewish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm not allowed to do these things. So the Rambam says, so you're a fool, because that might apply to some mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs you say, like, what can I do? I would love to go to some of these restaurants, but what can I do? Hashem told me that I'm not allowed to, and I'm okay with that. When it comes to magic, if you actually believe that there's any truth to any of those things, that they actually work, so then you're a foolish person, and there's no hope for you. Well, I don't know hope, but you should get out of it, and you should...
But you can't do it anyway.
Right, but the Rambam is at the end attacking, don't have the attitude of, oh, I wish I could do it, if only I could do it, but the Torah tells me not to. Rather, the Rambam is saying that there's nothing to do, there's nothing to even talk about. The problem is that the previous 10 halachos, he is describing the various things, though many of them are found in the Torah, in one pasuk. The pasuk tells us in, where are we, Yud Ches, pasuk Yud, in Devarim. A couple of them are mentioned altogether. The pasuk says, "Ki ata ba la'aretz asher Hashem lakachem moshe l'achol tumad la'asos ketoy vosak b'imeil." You shouldn't become like them. Meaning what? You shouldn't pass your son door through a fire. Okay, that's kind of a more of a Avodah Zarah type thing. That's what I'm Molech. But then, kosim, ksamim, ma'onin, umenashif, umenachish, umachashif. What are all these things? Passes divinations, astrologer, one who reads omens and sorcerers. All of those things are prohibited. And not only are they all prohibited, they're all considered separate prohibitions. They're all, if you look in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot, they're all listed separately. The Sefer Athena, they're all listed separately. They all get their own definitions. And they're all prohibited. So, and then he concludes famously this section, the Torah concludes by saying, Tamim tiyei Hashem Elokecha. Rather, you should be tamim, you should be simple, have simple belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't have to go and try to do these other types of things. That seems to be the basis in the Torah. So the Rambam, at the very end, says, none of this works. I mean, the Rambam is a rationalist, and everything, the Torah works, the world works in a rational way, and there are these types of things to do, but none of them work. The problem is if you look through the Gemara, and then the Rambam paskins this way, that the Gemara makes a distinction between going ahead and doing it, and or doing what's called, as you mentioned before, Ocheza Sinai, going and trying to convince somebody that you're doing it, but you don't actually go ahead and do these activities. One of them is considered possibly Isser Skila or Isser Makos, and then the Ocheza Sinai is Makos Mardus, or maybe Makos, but not the higher level. So if it's true that if the Rambam is right that everything that is done, all of the magic that's done, not talking about modern day, but back in the day, all of those things that are described are really just ochezeinai. They're really just a trick of the eye, a manipulation of the eye. So then how do you ever actually get the full punishment? I mean, what did the Torah mean that if you do some of these things, you get skila, if we all know that it's all a trick? That's my question. I remember spending 3 weeks on this in Kollel when I was learning the Sefer Sanhedrin. Never come to a clear answer on that question.
The question is on the Rambam.
Really, the question is on the Rambam, right? If you're going to say that it's all, so how can you make? I mean, if you're there's a general question on the Rambam: how does he understand the Gemara? But if you're going to understand that the Gemara, that there's a bifurcated prohibition, meaning that there is a prohibition of doing the real thing, and then there's a prohibition of doing the fake thing. But if you hold it's all fake, so how do you ever violate the prohibition of doing the real thing?
It's even a little bit difficult to push. Commandment and all these things.
Meaning that question on the Rambam. Right. So that is the general question on the Rambam that the Rishonim asked. So there's several levels of kashas on the Rambam. There is the Ramban, who says, well, the Rambam, he's just wrong. I mean, we have all of these stories in the Chumash, and we assume that we assume that they actually happen. Well, the Rambam assumes not. We disagree. I think that these things are to be taken literally, and he doesn't assume that they're necessarily to be taken literally. So that's level number one. Then there is a Drashas Aran number 11, takes on the Rambam pretty strongly and says that, oh, the Rambam was a philosopher, and therefore he came up with these things to fit within his philosophy. That is that seems to be what the Ran is saying. And then there is a Gra in this Siman, that is a famous Gra in this Siman, where it says that the Rambam is wrong, and everybody knows he's wrong, and everybody after him disagreed with him, and he was influenced by the philosophers, which I think a little bit stronger even what the Ran says. I mean, the Gra is actually accusing the Rambam of, like, in a way, going off the derech. Right? That seems to be what the Vilna Gaon is saying. So we'll save that graph when we actually get up to it and what exactly he is talking about. But there's a long line of Mefarshim that all line up to argue against the Rambam. Now, there is a overall... I didn't get into what the different poskim say. But there is an overall question about magic shows is manazeh, and I think the general accepted answer is, at least by those that allow magic shows, is that they're not. Everybody knows that they're not really magic shows, and in fact, the really great magicians don't actually cook. Who's probably the most famous magician in the world today?
Houdini?
No, he's dead. He's not in the world today.
Say you wanted a living one.
Who is a living? What? David Copperfield, right? What does David Copperfield call himself?
An illusionist?
He calls himself an illusionist, right? If you would say David Copperfield, oh, you're such a magician, there's obviously no, you obviously are just a sorcerer and you can just pull these things off, so he would be insulted by that. His chap, what he's trying to do, is to show, look, I can make this elephant disappear, or appear that it disappears, while you know it's not really actually disappearing, but yet you fall for it anyways. I mean, that's what he's trying to do. So certainly when we label it illusionist, so I think the trend is to say that those kinds of things are permissible. But yet that distinction of A, was it ever true or was it not true? And then B, if it was true, is it still true today? And should that affect the halakha? I mean, that nowadays we generally assume that these things are not a reality, that we're functioning in the world today. So what impact does that then on the halakha as we apply these principles that we have to the modern day? That is, I guess, the introduction to this section. Now, I will just add one thing to the modern day magic issue, and that is in YU, in first year, you have to take language and writing. There's like a first year writing seminar that everybody has to take, and you have to read they don't really assign full books. You have to assign these articles to read. So I remember somebody gave one of the classes gave an article on Houdini, and they have to read this 20 page article on Houdini, and it mentions at the end that he once was locked in a safe, and he couldn't figure out a way out, and he's working and he's trying to feel his way out and he can't figure out a way out, and Houdini said this over the way he said, well, so at some point I just closed my eyes and I ended up out of the safe. So I always wondered what to do with that. I mean, is it possible that there, you know, if you assume like those we've shown him that there is such a, these spirits are out there, oh, we just don't use them today. Well, maybe it doesn't mean that it's not possible to use. I mean, if somebody can perfect their art to such a point that they can actually use it, I don't know. I remember reading that and that striking me as very interesting. Okay, whatever it was, that it wasn't. He didn't get out naturally, right? But I'm saying he didn't get out in the natural way. So, is there such a possibility?
Maybe it's one of the big debunkers, I think, of parapsychology and mediums and all that stuff. I think he was one of the big
Houdini was a debunker of it.
He was a big debunker. Arthur Conan Doyle was a big proponent. of this stuff, communicating with the dead through these mediums.
Uh-huh.
And Houdini was always debunking, well, anything that was supernatural. Uh-huh. He tried to force to prove that it wasn't even the dead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you could. Okay. Well, okay, for Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, we'll get pages and pages of blog articles. I'm sure a Machlokas Doyle versus Dini, I'm sure also has plenty of blog entries deciphering that dispute. Okay, so if we turn to
it's a little different. He that was Sherlock Holmes, right? That's
yes.
Arthur Conan. So, he was so Sherlock Holmes was so rational.
Yeah,
right?
It's Doyle was a big proponent of seances and stuff.
That's true, right? There's always a rational explanation, all of the Holmes. Okay, so anyway, if we turn to Simon.
By the way, you know, the Coffee Club and Dora wanted to burn all the Sherlock Holmes books. He thought they weren't good. He didn't think they were good.
Okay, so if we turn to Simon Kufayin Tess, so Kufayin Tess happens to be pretty long. There is a long list of things that are discussed. Pointed out that Pasuk itself has about five different things. So it goes through it. I haven't been through the entire Simon to know if we're going to actually plow through the entire thing or not. But we'll start with Sif Aleph. The Rambam, it's probably best just to read the tour. Kosim. So what does it mean to be a Kosim? So I think it was translated as being a diviner. Kosim Ksamim, yeah. It'll give that definition. Right? Rambam practices divinations. So, Zehu Sha'osa Maisa Ad She Yisum V'tiftim Achshavasu Mikol Dvarim Ad She Yomar Dvarim Asidim Liyah. So, a person clears his mind from all thoughts until he starts saying things that are going to happen in the future. V'yish Shemishamshin B'chol Obavanim. There are some that make use of sand or stones. Okay, that these things fall in the right places, and he can figure things out. V'yesh shegoer la'aretz v'tzoik. There are those that prostrate themselves on the ground and they cry out. V'yesh mishem stakel b'mar shel barzel oshel ashashes u'medamnin. And there's some that look into a mirror or a mar shel barzel is a mirror or a crystal, and they u'medamnin v'omrim, or they fantasize things and they say v'yesh mishem ochis mekel b'yado v'nishon alav makabo. There's some who lean on staffs. And they hit with it ad shetifne machshavasu medaber, until they enter a trance and they speak. So ve'achar kosim ve'achar asho lo asurim elish hakosim loka v'asho leino loka. So the one who does this and the one who asks him are both prohibited activities. Except the difference is the guy who actually does it gets makus and the guy who asks it doesn't. Right? But he's not off scot free of al makanos or makas mardus. We do impose upon him makas mardus, makos on a level of derabanan.
Probably because he doesn't
do an action. Right, because there's an Einbo Maisa, that is correct. And the Rambam says that explicitly. So we'll get into that shortly. So just with regards to this idea of a Ma'onin, so that's the first thing that is covered in the Shulchan Aruch. Actually, Kosim is the... we're going to go to Aleph Beis. We're talking about Ma'onin. Ma'onin is mentioned there. Okay, what is a Ma'onin? So that's the machlokus in the Gemara. So if we look, Tanu Rabbanan, it says Sanhedrin Samachay Amabez, Tanu Rabbanan Ma'onin, Rabbi Shimon Omer Zeh Hamavir Shiva Mine Zachor Alayayin. So this person takes seven types of seed from an animal and puts it in front of his eye. Okay? So we don't pass it like Rabbi Shimon. V'chamim Omer Zeh Ochiz HaSainayin. V'cham say, this is referring to an Ochiz HaSainayin. And that's interesting, meaning that's also a problem for the Rambam. If one of them is called Ochiz HaSainayim, so then what are the other ones? Right? Okay, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Zamachashiv Itim Vishos, Omer Hayom Yafalatz. It's a person who looks at the times and the hours, and he says, now is a good time to go. Torah's Konim Tanya Lot Onu Al Ochseinayim, that's referring to an Ochseinayim. Fine. Vesover Rabbeinu, so now the tour, that's actually the next section here. The Sover Rabbeinu, the Halacha Rabbi Akiva, that we actually pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Mufarisha lowly fluge al chachamim asa ella sufe alayu. But he really passes like both. The chachamim who said it's ochiz esayinayim, so that is for sure a violation of ma'onin. And then secondly, the second one is the one who astrologizes or figures out based on the stars or the times or the mazalos, so that's also considered a problem. V'leficha v'shos nami v'cham ma'onin. V'leficha kasa v'samuch v'chein v'chashi v'shos v'itim lomar yom ploni v'sha ploni. Kolonis Yachol Latzeis Kolomar, that a person who says that now is a good time to go, Kolomar Hay Havi Namim Onin, he's considered a Ma'onin. V'chein Nir Shudas Arambam Perak Yudalf Mehalachos Avodah Zara Elish Medivrei Rabbeinu. Who's Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu is referring to the tour. Right, according to the tour, it sounds like the Machashiv Itin B'shos Lo Breirole De B'derech An Tagninus Ka'amar V'chemoshi Yizbar B'samach
It's
Tagninus Astrology, right? It's Tagninus is astrology. That one who's thinking of these hours, lo brerele, he doesn't. He's not distinguishing. The bederech itztagnus kam. He's talking about astrology. The chomishi svar besemach. Mikolmakom near shigam rabenu oser lasos maisa alpia itztagnus. Meaning he's talking about the actual action of doing it. But what about acting upon it? So he's saying that's usher as well. Or that he looks at the stars and says, this star is rising, and I guess he's going to impact his actions based on that. So it's a problem, A, to try to figure out what it's going to be, and then B, to impact one's actions based on that. So that's a problem. So now, Siv Beis.
So Ma'onin is an astrologer?
Well, that's one of the interpretations. So Siv Beis is the issue of getting married in the beginning of the month or the end of the month, things like that. So there are many things that we have in our religion that are mutter. Like, for instance, I don't know, eating apple and honey on Rosh Hashanah night, right? So why shouldn't that be problematic? Actually, this issue is specifically about times of the week. So to do something specifically on Monday or on a Wednesday, or apparently it's considered a simon. The Ramah talks about to start a new zman. A new zman in yeshiva to start it on Rosh Chodesh. Right, is that why you're leaving soon? To get back in time for Rosh Chodesh? To start a new zman in yeshiva? So apparently that's like a simon, that we start on Rosh Chodesh as the new month turns, so we start a new zman in yeshiva. It's also convenient, but that's the apparently that's it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch to start new zman in, on Rosh Chodesh. And also there's an idea of getting married in the first half of the month rather than the second half of the month, as the moon is rising as opposed to setting. And that's if anybody ever tries to plant chasanas in Lakewood, so you'll
I just went to a wedding yesterday.
Right, so A, not everybody holds it, and then there are certain months when it doesn't apply. So I believe like Nisan, it doesn't apply. It only actually applies in 4 months of the year because half of them are Sfira, and then there's the 3 weeks, and it's Tisha B'Av, and whatever. We'll get to that next week. Fine.
So it could be a problem with reading a horoscope.
Yes. So if you I remember I listened to the Rabbi Reisman shiur on this about a month ago. I remember him making the comment that where do you find the horoscopes in the newspaper? What page? At least the way it used to be.
Comics?
In the comics page. So it's not as if you're reading it, right? You know, you read Charlie Brown, and then you read, I'm forgetting all the Doonesbury, and then you read the horoscopes, so then maybe you're not violating the Isser. But actually, Paskin, based on the horoscope, it's a problem. He also pointed out, he said in the Shir, I don't know about this, that apparently the horoscopes, I heard this on the news, that the horoscopes are shifting by a couple of days. So those that are the religious horoscope readers, you might be reading a different month now. Just keep in mind. Yeah, all right, we'll save that. That's really a next week discussion. The Rambam here has. I see running out of time. So maybe we'll see. The Rambam, what seems to be a stira in the Rambams, where he says in the first one that if you're in Ochez Ha'inayim, when it comes to Ma'onin, you get Malkus. But then in Halacha Tezvav, he says you're Mechashef, you're Chayef Skila. But if you're only Ochez Einayim, so you didn't actually do an action, so therefore you only get Malkus Mardus. Right? So
what are you used to terms? Ochez Einayim and Mechashef.
So Ochez Einayim is the same across the board. That's you divert someone's eyes. You're an illusionist. Right? The Onin is what we were just talking about, the astrology, things like that. Mm-hmm. Or when you like focus you enter a trance to figure things out. So with regards to that, the Rambam says if you Ochiz Esainayim, you get Malkus. Mm-hmm. However, when it comes to a Kishuv is magic. So to make a bunny appear. To really make a bunny appear.
I see.
So the Rambam says to do Kishuv, you're Chayav Skila.
Okay.
But to do Ochiz Einayim, you only get Malkus Mardus. So asks the Beis Yosef, why when you do Ochiz Einayim, when it comes to Onein, you're chayiv real makos, but when you're chayiv, when you do Ochiz Einayim on Kishuf, you're only chayiv makos markus. You're not really chayiv makos. You just get it on a level of derabana. Right, so what should be the distinction there? Especially because the Rambam says, plus you didn't do an action. So wait a second, if Ochiz Einayim is not considered an action when it comes to magic, so this it should also shouldn't be considered an action when it comes to Onei, when it comes to divinations, when it comes to astrology. So what's the distinction? So the Beis Yosef says, no. The Rambam never is meant to say that it's not considered an action. It is considered an action. Doing the action, pulling a bunny out of a hat, and really, the bunny was there all along, or the bunny was in the table underneath, and you were able to pull it out. So that's considered an action. So whether I mean that you didn't do the action, it means you didn't do the action of kishuf, and therefore you're not under that prohibition. Okay, but that leaves my question that I started this year with of, well, that means that there is actually a prohibition of kishuf, according to the Rambam. Right? So, still waiting to figure out an answer to that question. So that is this lengthy Beis Yosef. Okay, I want to, a couple more, there are some lemaisa things that are actually here on this Kufayin Tes Aleph. So you go to Shulchan Aruch, we're just doing Aleph tonight. Sounds like the CD ran out next turn.
Okay.
So, it's a big commitment going to that guy's house. It's like a quarter of a mile just to get to his front door.
He's got a big, take a look on the way there. He's got a big something.
Okay, so Ein Sholim Bechozim. So it says in Kufayin Tes Aleph. So Ein Sholim Bechozim Bechochavim Velo Begorala. So you shouldn't ask those who are Choza, the Chozim Bechochavim, meaning the visionaries, the those who see these things, the stargazers, Velo Begorala, nor about the lotteries, literally. I assume those cards that they do is probably a Gorala, qualifies as Gorala. So you shouldn't do that. Why? So he only includes the last line of the of those psukim. Should never come tia Hashem elokecha, because you should be fully in faith with Hashem. The kol shekain, then he adds in the aser lishol bekosmim umenakshim umachshefim. That certainly it's prohibited to ask the diviners, the menachshim, or the superstitious people. Nichush is superstitious, so those who is develop them, umachashim, and the magicians. Now, why it says kol shekain, I noticed that is the language that the Trumas Hadeshim uses, which I was able to track that down today. But it's...
that's worse?
It's considered worse. Why is it considered worse? So I'm forgetting. I forgot why it's considered worse. Okay, I'll have to figure that out for next time. Why it's considered worse. Okay. But the Shach here makes a comment here on the line V'kol Shekein, Shach Sif Aleph. He says, Hu mishum tamin tiya aser li shol behen, right? Aval, ha'usa maise b'kasma m'nechus v'kisha v'eser midoraisa. He says, this Sif is only talking about asking them, but if you actually go ahead and do it, so then you violated the dindoraisa of kishuf, neshuch, ksamim, etc., that are mentioned separately. And king kasav v'piskei ma'arisham. Fine. Upashatu, and that's obvious. Umavur midvarv, it also seems, sham, demutr l'chola lidrush b'machshafim v'kosmim kevin te'in iser elemishum tam tia. He says, now, if you're a chola, and you're actually going to them to get healed, so suggests the shach here, that would be mutter, because you're only violating to do it yourself, that might be worse. But to act, just ask somebody to help you out, so he says, well, it's only a violation of tam tia if you're actually really sick, so pikuach nefesh, so you could go ahead and do it. That's what he seems to be saying here. Umar shal b'tshuva sif gimel perakol abasar simin yud gimel miviyu va'arif va'ala da'asar l'chol alisha b'kosmim l'chshafim heicha d'leika sakanas nefashos. So the Umar shal, however, says that's only when it's real sakanas nefashos, because that's where it's doha this prohibition. That's where it beats out this prohibition. But if it's only sakanas aver, if it's only something that's dangerous, but your life is not in danger, Right, fine, period. Vimbolo hacholi al yidei kishuf o mikra v'ruach ra mutter. He says, however, if they
if he got sick,
okay, by these things, then you can get rid of it that way. Fine. Also quote from the Zohar that such a thing is terrible. So it sounds like from the Shach that if they actually will get healed, so then you can do it if your life is otherwise in danger. You can actually go to them. Now there is a section. Now the Rambam does quote this, and he quotes Allah actually later on. But the Gemara itself talks about this, going to somebody that's going to do this on Shabbos, etc. And the Rambam has to deal with that, but yeah. It doesn't work. So why are you able to be dealt with Shabbos? So he says, well, there's a placebo effect. People think it works, things like that. So anyway, so this Shach suggests that if your life is in danger, you could do it, but not for a din derabbanan. Now the Be'er Hetiv here on the bottom quotes that it's prohibited when it's aser. Now you have a Be'er Hetiv, you see where the Be'er Hetiv is?
Yeah,
so there's brackets there, right? You have brackets. There's brackets about halfway through that Be'er Hetiv. There's a bracket. It says, Uvachuvas Nun Shin. Who's the Nun Shin?
Wait a second. On the Be'er Hetiv up here?
Be'er Hetiv Aleph.
Oh yeah, okay, right here.
Right, and then a couple lines in, it says, Uvachuvas Nun Shin. This should be parentheses. You have it?
Yeah.
It's the bottom line. Sheldon, you have it on the bottom line?
Yeah. Next to the one.
Yeah.
One line up.
Does it tell you who the Nun Shin is?
No.
Okay. I don't know
who it is. The Nun Shin too.
Simon Tesvav. Yora lahatir lahamu naham hasholim v'dorshim bizmana zel lemachshafim aldas hagneva o hachola. He says he permits the people that go and ask these people nowadays about the nowadays magician people, and they ask him about stolen things or sick people. I mean, they're asking whether the sick person is going to get better, imiche o yamos, whether he's going to be better or worse. Yan why lo asra Torah ela kishuf zmanim kadmonios, because the Torah only prohibited kishuf in the good old days when it worked. Achin ata in kishuf olam v'akol havam. For nowadays, it's kishuf and it's all fake. So why are you doing it? I don't know. You think that it works. So suggest the Be'er Hetiv that nowadays, where we know that it's no good, so we'll let people go. Now, why are they going? Presumably, they're going because they think it works. But we know that it doesn't work, so we're not going to stop them from going. That's what it sounds like the Be'er Hetiv is pulling that kind of split. Now,
who's the Be'er Hetiv?
Who is the Be'er Hetiv? He is not so recent. He's also on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. He's in the 1800s at latest, but perhaps even earlier. Ephraim Zachariah Mendel Avbeisten of Belz. Okay, so it can't be that old. Yeah, that's what it says here. So anyway, it's probably early 1800s. I have heard, I'm not sure what, that the Mishneh Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim printed his Mishneh Berurah, he's the one who demanded the Be'er Hetiv to be put on the page of the Mishneh Berurah. Not sure why.
Who demanded?
I mean, the Mishneh Berurah, when they printed the Mishneh Berurah, so on the page of the Mishneh Berurah is the Be'er Hetiv and the Shari Tshuva. What?
But who demanded that?
That he did. Chavetz Chaim said that when you print the Mishneh Berurah, I want on my page the Mishneh Berurah. The Magen Avraham is not on the page, right? The Taz isn't on the page, but the Be'er Hetiv is on the page of in the Mishneh Berurah edition as well. So that's the Be'er Hetiv quotes here. That nowadays it seems like it should be, or at least we're not going to stop them.
It was Kiski Yehuda or something. It was some book of remedies.
Yeah.
And that they put it away because people were relying on the book, and I guess it was a kind of a magic, and they were relying on the book instead of God. So I'm not sure why. I thought they hid the book. They hid the book.
Yeah, I don't think we'd call it magic. If it works, it's not magic.
But if it was really medicine, then why did we have to hide it?
Because people were relying on that book and weren't praying to God.
Yes.
Well,
that may very well show up in another sip. I have material on that issue.
I so maybe we'll in medical school. Yeah.
All these subjects seem like these are like black magic, using like a Kohos HaTumah as opposed to like the Book of Chizkiyah, which was
correct. Right. So then you have to so why did they get rid of it? So we got a little. So the simple answer is like Sheldon just said. I have more on that topic. I just have to read it. Okay, so the Piskei Tshuva picks up on the Be'er Hetiv, and then he also quotes from the Tshuva's Mishkanos Yaakov, right? Shalomad Tzchus al Hanogim Heter Lidrosh Baruch Shefem. So now we could be Lomed Tzchus on those that are Noheg to do this Lidrosh Baruch Shefem Bishvil Cholet. The Yesh Lomer that has Zohar Brazel Lishitaso the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Saver BeGemar the Sanhedrin the Ben Noach Mitzuva Al Kishuv. That the idea that it's prohibited for non-Jews to do is based on Shita Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which is Gemara and Sanhedrin, which we don't paskin like. It says, Ananha Kaimel and the Lokar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. We don't paskin that way. In Kain, Ein Kan Rak Isser Amira, the Isser de Tamim Tia, Kamolishol be Kaldiyim. Ulai b'chol eshari b'frat l'chol eyesh sheyesh posakandam. Mikol makum shor menasher yerchak mihem. He says two things. Number one, it's only a violation of tamim, meaning doing these things is not really a prohibition for us, or, well, for them. For them, for me asking them to do, it's not prohibited for Najee to do. Therefore, it's only a prohibition of Amir al-Akum. Just like on Shabbos, asking a Najee to turn on the lights, so here you're asking a non-Jew to divine for you. So that's a prohibition of Amir al-Akum. So that would be Doche, that would be pushed aside in the face of various other things, other considerations, like health considerations. So you suggest that nowadays that's why we don't have to be Mocha, we don't have to protest against people that do it. But he concludes that it's inappropriate to do, right? Shomer nafsho yirchak me, a person should stay away from this. Now, the Sif Aleph of the Piskei Tshuva, which I skipped, all he says is, Ayin B'tshuvas Rebaz, HaKadosh Yosim and Tav Pei Hei. So I didn't see this, the Rebaz inside, but Nisho Safram quotes from the Rebaz, where he takes a machmer stance on all these things. He said, all of this is really based on Avodah Zarah. And to go ahead and say, and it sounds like everything should be a problematic of Avodah Zarah. Remember, we learned earlier, even if it's not Avodah Zarah, even Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Gilah Raya, even those could be prohibited. So the Rabbaz takes a very tough stand against all these things, saying that it's all Avodah Zarah, in essence, or its base comes from Avodah Zarah, much like some of the activities that's going on outside tonight, right? and therefore should be avoided. So that is that Bachlokas. Finally, the Nishros of Ram then goes on and says, oh, by the way, we have two other things that two tshuvas of Rav Moshe that seem to be connected to this, although they're not really the same thing, but because Nishnah mentioned them, I'll just throw them out here. Number one is the Igros Moshe in Chelek Orchaim Chelek, well, actually, Yerodeya Chelek Gimel, Sif Mem Dalad, discusses Be'inyan hypnotism l'refuah, being hypnotized in order to be healed. And it's interesting, actually, Simon Mem Gimel is that Shuva where he wrote to Rav Salvechik about the interfaith dialogue issues. I gave a share of that last year, 2 years ago. So that's Simon Mem Gimel. Right. So the next Simon Mem Dalet, is this idea of hypnotism, the Rafua. And he says, I'm not that I've seen all of Rav Moshe's Shuvas, but he actually says, oh, I discussed this with Rav Henkin. She puts in here, and he says, "We don't think that should be prohibited." Right? It's considered. There's an explanation for it, and therefore it shouldn't be considered kishuv, and therefore it should be okay. And he says, you should be concerned that maybe the hypnotist will get you to do things that are prohibited. He says, okay, well, make sure he doesn't, to try to get a Shomer Torah hypnotist or somebody who, would be choshish for these things. He says, it's considered you're going to be mezalzel yourself. He says, isn't that a zilzel? Maybe it shouldn't be allowed, but you're not allowed to be mezalzel yourself. And there actually are, that's a din. So he says no, but if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chafav Amud Beis, you'll see that it's okay for the purposes of your health. So I looked at the Gemara. I didn't see anything on the Daf that explicitly says you could mevaza yourself for your health, but I did see you could mevaza yourself in order to get paid back a loan. That the Gemara there is talking about a couple of people that are pasul eidus, and mentions people that are mevaza themselves barabim as somebody who's pasul eidus. It talks about somebody who claims loans from people. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, you should claim from people in private rather than in public. That way you're not mevaza yourself. And then it says, but if you have to do it in public, otherwise you're not going to get paid, so you can go ahead and do that. And you're not going to be pasul eidus for doing so. So I assume that that's the Gemara, that's the principle that Rav Moshe was referring to. Yeah.
You have your money.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. And then the other din here, the other tshuva has here in Yerodeya Chelek Beis, Simon Nun Zayin, he has a tshuva about going to a Be'inyan Lis Rapi Choli Machshavos Mirofim psychiatrist, although it's spelled in the psychiatrist, that's what he's talking about. Shehein minim v'kofrim. That's psychiatrists that aren't from. It's a problem with going to not from a psychologist, psychiatrist, although the Chubi says he spells psychologistin with a pay in the beginning.
That's reasonable.
What?
In Hebrew you say psycholog.
You do?
Psychiatr.
Ah, okay. Okay, so anyways, so he talks about psychologists. He says that you shouldn't. He says, in my opinion, you shouldn't go because when you go to a regular doctor, so there's ways of testing him. There's ways of ensuring that he does the right thing, as we've learned in previous simanim. He says with a psychologist, things that they're saying, so you have to be nervous that he's going to advise neged das Torah. But then at the end he says, okay, but if, first of all, if you go to one who's from psychologist, so that's good. And second of all, if you go to one who's a mumcha, that is very trustworthy, so then you can trust him. Especially you can trust him, so he's not comfortable with it, but at the end he says, if that's what you need to do, at the end of the day, he's matir. I remember I'm not sure I told the story here before, when I went for my counseling degree in psychology, so I asked Rav Shefner what he thought about it. I asked him, do you think it's a good idea for me to get this master's? He says, yeah, it's a good idea. He says, you should know that all of psychology is really based on apicursis. I said, really, what do you mean? He says, well, the whole idea of psychology is based on the idea that there's no such thing as bechir chavshus, that you don't have free will, and that it's all based on, plus your parents did this to you, or you have this type of psychologist personality, and you're stuck, etc. So I said, okay, so I shouldn't do it? No, go ahead. So I assume what he meant is you should be aware that is out there, that people don't have a fear of conscience. That's kind of a mood that's out there, but doesn't mean that that's necessarily defined psychology, and can work with people and try to influence them for the better. So, anyways, and we wouldn't consider it a violation of Kishuf as found in Kafayin Tess of Aleph. Alright.
I think it was one of my wife, she said you should not go to a non-from psychologist.